We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild. Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm stand-up and the host.
Stand-up comedian.
Stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me in our state-of-the-art recording studio above Public Square Coffee in downtown La Mesa, California, is my lovely wife, my co-host, and overall great gal, Melissa Ruth Nickerson.
Hey there.
With us as well is our producer, Andy, the pride of Yorba Linda.
From
YL, Young Life.
Young Life.
Young Life, YLYL. I bet that was that was a thing. Whew. Come to YLYL.
You're welcome, Yorba Linda, yeah. Young Life.
Yorba Linda, Young Life.
Yeah. Run with it.
If you want to know how conservative of Christian Mel and I were in our high school years.
In the early aughts.
Is that Young Life was not considered Christian enough.
Nope.
Nobody wants that podcast.
We don't need any more. We don't need to say anything more. That summarizes
you
it.
You know, anyways. Mm-hmm. But thanks for tuning in to our little podcast that could hear everybody. We really appreciate you. We've got a good nice episode for you. Mel and I are going to do a little senior year check-in, talking about our son who's a senior in high school and, you know, the things we expected and didn't expect, some surprises. Some things that are going exactly the way we thought. Some government website stuff. Mel is drowning in FAFSA right now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And we'll dive into all that. So, but first, you know, a couple things to get to. One, if you've not already left a review of this podcast, we sure appreciate it if you would. Mm-hmm. We'd love it so much. Like this one right here from Team Capin. Favorite podcast, 5 stars. This is our favorite show. We look forward to it being released every week and get really sad when there's no shows. LOL. Thank you. You could also do a YouTube comment if you haven't before. This one right here is from...
is this negative?
Relin Oz. At first, I hated this podcast, but now I really like you guys. This episode converted me. Keep up the great work. Thanks. And I mean that genuinely. Thanks for, you know...
We're all about conversions.
Well, that last week we fought, kind of. We actually were digesting a fight last week. Like, it was kind of, it was like a post-fight interview where you're still kind of mad, you know, but you're like, you're still a little bloodied up, you know, you're like talking to the boxers after the fight. But what had happened and things were resolved. But it was a little tense, and even there was a couple of people who sent emails or commented, and people was like, "Whoa, man, this was somebody compared it to the house party episode of The Office."
Yeah,
it was like this got a little tense, and then someone asked, "I wonder how Andy was feeling in the room." But I don't know. We talk like that a lot in front of you, but I don't know what were
probably like Jim in that episode.
Yeah, yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the flood phone call.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well,
you're like, so are we not going to air any of this?
No, it was all fine. I thought so.
That our first episode back of the new year?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, kind of went in with a bang, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
I thought it was a good episode. But anyways.
Yeah.
thanks for listening, commenting, subscribing. You guys are all great. We really appreciate you. You guys are always welcome to send us emails at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. This one right here is from Chase. Subject, slick shoes.
Okay.
First you mentioned POD on Nightland, and then today you mentioned slick shoes, which I think that must have been a you reference. I don't know if I would have said slick shoes.
No, you did.
Did I?
Yeah, you said it because there was someone else playing. You're like, oh, I'm going to go see so-and-so. Oh, and slick shoes played too.
Oh, yeah. And then it said, what about Five Iron Frenzy, Supertones, and the Insiders? Bunch of polls there. So
nice.
I did know a couple Insider songs, because again, I started going to church around 2000, and some of those bands were in like the height of their superpower, but a lot of them were kind of like, we were more
waning.
Little that next round like Reliant K. As a matter of fact, we saw Reliant K at the college that you would end up going to in the gym at SPU. You might have been going
there
already.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah. And I think Supertones like opened for Reliant K, which, you know, in 99 would be blasphemy, or 96 or whatever.
But in like 02, 03.
Yeah.
Yeah, Reliant K was a little bigger.
I definitely had an Insiders album that I think Micah got for me. And like, I know you really like music. How do you like this? I think one of the Dogwood guys lives on our street.
Yeah.
He commented on one of the video I posted of Joel running, and he's like, this looks like my street.
Yeah, he does. I know where he lives.
Okay.
But he doesn't. You guys are near each other, but not.
But close.
It's
like,
very close.
Like within a mile?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's very close.
Anyways, we got a lot to get to, but I do want to promote a couple dates before we get in there. Come see me on tour if you're interested in such a thing. What's today? Today is January 15th. So next weekend.
Today's 14th, but
yeah,
tomorrow's
the 15th. Yeah. Next week, I'm going to be in Indianapolis, Helium Comedy Club, there for 5 shows. And then I'm going to be in Denver in February, in St. Louis in February, in Columbia, Missouri. That's an interesting room. It's called the Blue Note. And it's one of those rooms where they sell the floor, and then they sell the lower balcony, and then they sell the upper balcony based on sales. And I've never been to Columbia, Missouri, but I've toured the heck out of Missouri. Kansas City and St. Louis. Like I've done a lot of different Missouri cities over the years. Springfield, and we've gotten up to lower balcony. So if we get to upper balcony, that'd be huge. So, and then I'm going to be in Toronto. And then March, Santa Cruz, Petaluma, back here in California, Berkeley. New one on sale, Lexington, Kentucky, April 17th through 19th. Eugene, Oregon after that. Brea, California, which we're going to talk about weekend of Brea this year. Pottstown, PA, Richmond, Virginia, Stamford, Connecticut. That's all on sale right now. I'm still waiting for Providence to get on sale soon. I think we're going to have a Vegas on sale soon. We're working. Yeah. Guys, I'm working for a living. So, Patreon.
Oh, that's me.
Facebook group and Patreon, you guys got to get a little more. Right now, actually, the Facebook group, my favorite thing that's happened in the Facebook group, maybe to date, the Dustin Nickerson comedy fans, is Bonnie, who's a longtime listener, one of the early adopters of one of our earliest backseaters and earliest patrons. Dustin Nickerson fans.
Mm-hmm.
She found these stickies of quotes of yours that she had written in her purse. People have memed you in there too.
Yes.
I bought 2 pounds of salmon or whatever.
And
that.
And then eat your pizza
eat
and
your
watch
pizza.
Your movie.
Mel's a meme in this.
Yeah.
And then these were little stickies, which is so funny because you're a sticky girl too, personality wise, but also you're a sticky notes girl. She was cleaning out her purse and found these gems. I had them taped to my monitor at work at her last job. And it says, one is, I'm not really trying to peak in life. Melissa Nickerson, and the next one is you get what you get and work with what you have. It's pretty good, actually. Yeah, I like it.
I was very flattered by Bonnie's little mementos there. Before I forget my job, the Patreon Zoom for January is set for Tuesday the 21st.
And Dylan, our patron,
5 p.m.
Dylan is, PT. He commented and he was like, Finally. You don't do a Sunday or Monday.
Sunday, Mondays, with the long weekend, next week, the day off on Monday. We're doing Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll give it a go.
I think that was all that was all sports related of why he was excited. So
sports for us too.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So well, can get a little more on our Patreon and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we would be we would be remiss if we didn't start talking a little about if we're gonna do a true weekend recap, you know, our lives we're not directly affected, but directly are so many of our friends and family. Well, really our friends, like
co-workers,
peers. Yeah. I mean, people that feel like family,
mm-hmm.
Have been affected by the fires in L.A. You know, we posted a little bit about that online. If you guys have not, looked into donating through the Red Cross, or there's a lot of different charities, or the Salvation Army, who's doing a lot of great work, in ways that you can help. I believe there's the Wildfire Foundation. There's a million things that you can do to help, in addition to just, you know, thinking and praying for folks out there. It's super sad, tragic, a couple of people have checked in on us, and which was nice, but we're too. No traffic, 2 hours. Traffic, 7.5 hours away from Los Angeles. You and I were talking a little bit about it. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting because we're not Los Angelans and we don't live up there. But it is...
Angelinos,
yeah. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
It affected us more than we thought, in the sense that, like, you had 2 tapings in the last week up there. You had meetings. You talk and text and call your LA reps, you know, all the time.
Yeah, well, and that's
our friends and coworkers are all up there.
And that's what it is, is you just realize it doesn't, like, I'm not trying to be like, oh, this affects us. That's not it at all. It's just that these...
What about us?
Yeah, it's not that at all. It's that a lot of people have a lot to say about this particular thing, mm-hmm. and whatever, that's fine. People are dealing with the way that they need to deal with. But, you know, we have dozens and dozens of friends who were evacuated, multiple friends who lost their home. I mean, Pete Lee talked about it on The Tonight Show. I mean, his house burned down. My friend Rachel lost her house. You know, it's, mm-hmm. Hundreds of thousands of people have had to have been evacuated. It's
the
really...
water's bad. They don't have Wi-Fi. They don't have power. They don't know when they're going to go back.
Yeah.
So they're stranded.
Yeah.
Evacuated. Some of them were down here last week.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend yesterday, and you know, she was like, you know, so many of us up here, it's like people have lost their homes. If you lost your home, there's a good chance your kid lost their school too. So you're just like, kids aren't in school, and you're
can't
just
go
home
outside because of the air quality.
Yeah, and people are asking these questions right now. Like, some of the people that I've talked to have like lost their homes. They're like, where do I live now? Because if I lost everything up here, where do I live? Where am I from? You know, like, it's so sad, and it's really tragic, you know. And yeah, I feel so, really what it is because I've spent a lot of folks from LA ended up down here, and then I spent the weekend with Tay up in Brea, and I just felt for them so bad, so much. One of the hardest part about was the ambiguity of just like, I don't know when I'm going to go home. Is it safe to go home? Because all these warnings, and still even right now, the winds are going to pick up, and it's, man, it's just so sad. So, you know, make sure your hearts are, you know, aligned with them and praying for them and do anything you can to support, because those are real people going through real problems, you know, and these are people right now, because of our line of work, that we're communicating with every day, not just online. Like, these are... my friends and my reps and my coworkers and, you know, people that you would just normally text and communicate with, whose lives have been, if you live in Los Angeles, at minimum, your life has been disrupted, if not completely overhauled and like devastated. So, yeah,
it's insane. Yeah, it was a crazy week.
Yeah,
it's so sad.
It is really sad. And again, you know, we're not Los Angeles people. Like, we don't live there. But we've spent a lot of time there, and like, I've been to every state in America, and I've been to every major city in America, and I love LA.
Mm-hmm.
I love it so much. And you don't have to love LA. You don't. And LA doesn't need you to love it. That's one of my favorite things about it. But LA is such a quintessential, like, American city?
Yes. Yes. It's sorry. Spammy Gloria.
It's all right. That'll flow well in a clip.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. No, LA is such a quintessential American city.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just about what's there. It's about who's there. And I was thinking about why I like so what I like about LA is it unlike I mean, there's a couple places about it. But one of the things that I love about LA is it's full of so many proud locals and American dreamers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like people that moved from Ohio.
All the transplants.
Yeah. And Oklahoma and Oregon and Florida and Texas and all around America because they're like, LA is where my dream might come true.
Right. And it was built by dreamers.
It was built by dreamers. Yeah.
So it's like resilient artists and creatives.
And they're right there with all the local, the proud locals. And that's what I think is one of the wonderful things about LA is it's like a weird paradox of a city. Like I was thinking, like when you think of LA, where do you even start? You know, there's like the
so
surfing and Arnold and the Minion at Universal Studios and the Hollywood Bowl and the Getty. And I don't know, it's just, it's full. It's like, I was thinking about, it's like, it's dark and gritty, but sunny and hopeful.
And the traffic's terrible. And, and it's all part of it.
It's all part of it. It's it really is part of it.
The In-N-Out, the firefighters at In-N-Out. It's just that's
You wept.
Yes.
You saw the firefighters at In-N-Out.
Right. Yeah. Well, I know a lot of like moms and friends whose kids are here with the fire, like helping, like and husbands who are helping with the fire that live out of California, that have come in, and I don't know. It's just, you know, it's so many people are affected, and so many people are helping.
Yeah,
you know, and it's on our coast. It's just 2 hours north of us.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like it's.
It
it's
made
just
me
a lot.
It is a lot, and it made me sit back and reflect on how much I do love the city of LA.
Mm-hmm.
I really and thinking about again how iconic of an American city it is. Like it's Jackie Robinson and Sandy Koufax. It's Mary Lou Retton in the '84 Olympics. It's Kobe. It's Magic. It's Shaq, it's Reggie Bush at USC, and John Wooden at UCLA. Like, the current NFL, the best coach in the NFL right now, Andy Reid, was a vendor at Dodger Stadium. Like, LA, people come from the country to LA to impact the world, and people from LA go out to the world to impact the world. Like, I don't know. It's Guns N' Roses and Tupac? What? How's that from the same place? You know, it's the even like I was thinking about like current artists from LA are it's Kendrick and Billie Eilish. Like, what?
I know.
It's unbelievable. And you were talking about that, like the traffic. One of the great things about LA is how much of a paradox it is. It's like a relaxing walk on the beach and the worst 4 hours of your life on the 405 you've ever had.
It's both.
It's Motley Crue and Sublime.
It's Motley Crue and Sublime and Dr. Dre and Snoop. What? How does that all exist in the same place? LA is a truly paradoxical city.
Yeah.
And I love it. It's like I said that before. It's got flaws and dirt and fashion and lip filler. You know, like it's dark and Botox-y and scary and cool and weird.
$35 smoothies.
$35 smoothies. It's VW buses and Lamborghinis. What? At Beverly Hills and Compton. Huh? I don't know. I know.
In-N-Out and vegan everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking about like, because a lot of people have a lot to say about LA right now, and that's fine. Whatever you say about LA is probably right. Honestly, like if you hate LA, like if there are things about LA that you hate, you're probably right. LA's not for you. That's welcome to the jungle, baby.
Yeah.
LA's not for everybody. No. So it has, there's been a lot of LA hate online and whatever. And a lot of that is politically driven and people need to cope that they, the way that they have to. But I'll just say, like, sentimentally, as someone in entertainment, like as someone in show business, and you know this because I've said it, as someone in show business, I always just wanted to have a little, like a small piece of LA.
Yeah.
I just, a little piece of LA that I get carved out for and I get to be a part of. And when you get your spot at the Comedy Store or the Improv or you're on late night and that curtain comes out and or you pull into your spot with your name on the lot to go be on TV that day, you've made it, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, you're an entrepreneurial creative dreamer.
Yeah.
You know?
You can have anything you want, but you better not take it from me. I love it. So anyways, you know, just it's I do think like it has been discouraging seeing a lot of like online hate about like politicians and you're welcome and entitled to that opinion. And I'm apolitical on this and really life, you know, but I do think of the Mr. Rogers quotes of like the look for the helpers. You're like, I mean, God bless the fire department and these guys. I mean, people were coming from other states and other countries coming down to help. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just one of the great things about, you know, like whether you pray or you meditate or whatever it is that you do, like spend some time thinking about what people are going through in LA right now. It's pretty tough, you know. So anyways.
It definitely like kind of puts everything in perspective.
Absolutely. You know? It absolutely does. Yeah.
And it should.
Yeah. And we were in Brea this last weekend with Taylor and, you know, like it was a fun weekend. There were fun shows and
they were amazing shows.
And Taylor very generously donated her, the proceeds of the show to go support the wildfire fund. You know, but it is like, you know, that we were in a green room full of people that had been
displaced. Yeah.
Wondering if the fires were going to get to their house.
And they don't know when they're going to go back.
Yeah.
Everyone is kind of just like waiting, you know?
Yeah.
And it's crazy.
Yeah. And to be honest, too, like Brea, like, gets hit with those same winds.
100%.
Like, and there's, you got a set of hills that Brea sits right between the IE, and it's like those hills have always been compromised.
Yeah.
Like, there's been fires on those hills. Like, that's always been a hot spot, too. So, yeah. I mean, even living in Yorba Linda in that area, there's always that feeling that that's going to happen. So, you know, and there's been a lot of fires in that whole northeast Orange County area. So, you know, for even those folks, like, everyone's kind of feeling
that. Everyone's a little on edge.
And when I was reading some articles, like, I didn't think about this, but like, they're hearing the winds, you know, Monday night, Tuesday night, and they're not sleeping, you know? Mm-hmm. They're tossing and turning. They're like, what do I need to pack? What have I packed?
Yeah.
Like, do I have everything in place? And so everyone's lost just like all the comforts at home, and they're running on little sleep, and they're stressed out. And, and they've lost a lot, you know? So various amounts of a lot, but it's like, it's still just... it's really tragic.
Really sad. Yeah. Really, really sad.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Well, let's somehow segue from that to other content.
Back to work.
Okay. So for today's episode, we're going to talk a little bit of, we did a little weekend recap there. Brea was fun. Taylor's great.
As just an observer, the show was amazing.
Yeah.
It was such a great show.
And again, you know. If clean comedy is your thing, Taylor's not your thing. You know, but she's great. She's so funny. She's generous. It was very nice of her to donate the proceeds and everything. But
absolutely.
Yeah.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Taylor's a nice segue into to this article. No, she's a millennial. She's not Gen Z. But her and I talk a lot about Gen Z.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about our senior year son mm-hmm. in student, son, our son in his student senior year. Wow, what a botch of a sentence that was. But before we do, I wanted to read this article to you guys that we sent out. So this is so interesting to me. So Gen Z is saying no to drugs, booze, and risky behavior. Here's why. According to a new study in the journal Social Science and Medicine, people born between the mid-1990s and mid-2010s are partaking in far less risky behaviors than their wild and crazy elders. The change, the researchers believe, can be chalked up to a combination of school pressure, stricter laws, and parental finger wagging, among other factors. Here we go. Gen Z has cleaned up their act. Not their act. Gen Z has cleaned up youth's act. Amazing. Who knew?
I know. After they take so much heat.
Who takes more crap than Gen Z? And Gen Z is like, hey, man, we're just out here living a clean lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've given us no hope for an economy or to
the environment.
College looks bad. The environment's not thriving, but we're doing our best to take care of ourselves at least.
It seems very mature of them.
It does. Mm-hmm. I think Gen Z is like, hey, man, all I have is me. You know, it's just going to be me living in this closet, so I might as well take good care of me. It's very interesting.
It's wild.
It goes on mm-hmm. to say that one of the main reasons is that they aren't gathering as much, mm-hmm. Which makes sense because they are more connected online. Like there's one that, mm-hmm. you know, there is like a negative way you could say that of like kids don't get together the way you used to. I was like, yeah, but you know what? Sometimes my son stays home on a Friday night and gets online and games with his friends. And as his parents, I'm pretty happy about that.
Yep.
He's not just going to some kickback.
Yeah. Yeah. I think in the article it says something about like, oh, sophomores aren't going. I'm like, wait. Sophomores?
Yeah.
Aren't going to like as many parties. I'm like, how many parties did I go to? Not that many.
Yeah.
But I guess.
And they're going to even less.
I guess all the movies were right.
Yeah.
You know? So.
I do think the stricter laws, like California has, I mean, they're pretty strict with the 16-year-old drivers.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because we used to all pack in cars.
Yeah.
You know, like on our 16th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they've cracked down a lot of that stuff. And it costs so much to drive. And you have to go through so many hoops to drive by 16.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, you are trying to keep the kids more safe because that first year of driving.
Yeah.
They get in a lot of accidents. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's a good law. Like, it's hard to enforce.
Yeah.
But it does help, like, all the 50 hours of driving that you have to get your parent to sign off on. Mm-hmm. And it does help.
100% it does. Yes. It's
to
also
keep kids off the road and to keep them safely on the road. There's, like, I don't think we had curfews. Like, our city has a curfew for teenagers. They can't drive between 11 p.m. and 5 a.m. It's just, I don't know. It all helps.
Go ahead.
Every generation has just done it so bad. We finally scared a generation into getting it right.
Well, more on that in a second. I would say, because I think that's true. I think one of it, too, is like it is harder for Gen Z to do these things. And a lot of people really complain about like, oh, teens on their phones all the time. As the parent, I'm so grateful for that phone. That phone tells me where they are. It is
their location. You have a Ring doorbell. You know when they come home.
Yeah.
You know, an alarm goes off if they leave.
The future is here, baby.
You know,
all eyes on you. I mean, it's very. I mean, my dad left. I think our parents. Like, we talked to an older guy about this recently who was like, we were talking about like, yeah, you know, like sometimes I worry like about my kid like having a couple drinks at a party in high school. And he's like, is that even a mistake? Yeah, it is a mistake. It is. It's against the law and it's dangerous. And there's a reason you're not supposed to drink until you're 21. It is like, but that like what was passed down from our generation of parents to us was very different, which was mm-hmm. like, nah, it's growing up. Yeah, growing up is throwing up. You know, like if you didn't, you know, like if you didn't get alcohol poisoning and end up in the hospital as a sophomore, did you even go to high school? Like it was like a lot of like that kind of like mindset from a lot of those parents. And then we're the parent, because this is where it gets personal to us, is like, hey, maybe us giving out all those participation trophies weren't so bad after all.
I am proud of you for finishing the season.
I am proud of you. I'm proud of me for finishing the season. You know you were a loser. You know your team didn't win, but I am proud that
you
didn't.
You still showed up.
You still showed up. You know who deserves a trophy? Someone who shows up on a losing team every week. They should get the biggest trophy. Winning's easy. That's a fun experience. If you're gonna, if you want to get real specific, you know who had the easiest championship ever? The bad kid on the team with the good player. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a piece of cake. Mm-hmm. You rode the bench.
You're just like, go, yeah,
yeah.
We got
especially in youth soccer, where there's they got the trophy because they won. No, they had Brooks, the good 7-year-old who scored 6 goals a half.
They're like, we're not good. Brooks is good.
Brooks is good. So, yeah, I don't know. It's so funny because I know not every – a lot of millennials have Gen A parents or our kids. And we have we happen to be
we're
raising
rare
Gen
exception.
Z. But millennials who are raising Gen Z kids and Gen X who are raising Gen Z kids, good job. We're doing a good job. I'm not here for any of this slander, like, well, you know, we're not, you know, you're too soft with these kids, you know, you're not giving them the tough love that they need. Well, they seem to be doing pretty well. Yeah, you know what? They're on their phones, but they're off the pipe.
Risky behavior is down.
They're making good decisions.
Let's enjoy the fruit of our labor.
This is a hey, man, like... We can have hope for them, even though they don't have hope for themselves. I'm encouraged. I think this is good news.
We all deserve a little pat on the back.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm
going to
receive
teenagers.
That. Yeah. Because our parents won't give it to us.
We're gonna make trophies for ourselves.
Yes.
Thanks for showing up.
Yeah.
Every day. I spend my weekend tracking my teens.
Yeah.
I deserve a trophy.
Yeah. Now, that being said, is social media maybe worse than alcohol? Potentially. TBD.
Studies are still.
TBD.
New risky behavior.
Don't show me any more studies after this. But.
It's true.
I was, you know, we're looking for these little wins along the way, right? Mm-hmm. So we were talking about our son, this is obviously our son. He's in his senior year, and we were talking about you were doing a lot of reflecting. It was the holidays. It's the new year.
I know.
There's a lot of milestones. Circle of life stuff's really getting you right now. Anytime Zach Bryan's Pink Skies comes on, you cry.
I've been in it, but.
Yeah.
With like just this week with the fires and just like thinking about these kids growing up, and it's just been too much.
Yeah.
It's been too much for me.
You're on edge right now.
I am. I am. No, I held it together during the holidays because I think there was just so many tasks.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, I'm not feeling like sad and reflective, which is kind of the way, you know, life kind of comes at you and one little thing makes you think of another. One of it was, you know, we have to turn in like a baby picture for the yearbook. And I was like, not now. I can't get the albums out.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're like, how do you pick one picture to define your senior child? Like,
which baby picture?
Part of it was.
Also, how hard is that going to be for parents in like 5-10 years who had an iPhone the day their child was born? You're like, which baby picture? Because, you know, even our, like, I had one baby picture.
Yes, you went to JCPenney's and did a baby photo shoot.
Yeah, I was fat and I was a fat baby, and everyone always comments how I was like, Dustin was a fat baby. I was like, I mean, I was that week. I could have looked totally different the next month, but that's when I was immortalized.
That's it, forever.
I'm wearing a white onesie. Not full lengthy, just just the crotch buckle. No legs. The legs are out.
You got your legs out.
Yeah, okay. And I've got horizontal stripes, which are not flattering even for a baby.
So it's November, December 1984.
Yeah.
Dustin's going in for his photo shoot.
Yeah. And parking. Yeah, going in for my photo shoot. I don't know anything. And they give me my little rattle.
Yes.
I got a little blue rattle. And
you can't even sit up. They're kind of just you.
No, I'm leaning back like a...
That was the best they could get.
This is it. And they're like, it's a smile-ish. And why am I leaning back and looking up? Because somebody, JCPenney, who just repaired a washer, is back there. You know, like,
Look at me.
Oh,
too much.
Side note, Andrew Max Levy, our guy who's done some photography for us.
Yeah.
He's doing a thing right now in LA. I saw him post yesterday. He's a photographer and he goes, anybody who lost family photos, let's take new ones. I'll do them for free for you, which is very nice
That's
of him.
So
That's
nice.
Very sweet.
Yeah.
Look for the helpers, baby. So you got to find this baby picture and go take that down to...
Well,
high school?
I don't even know. I haven't gone that far.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't crack open the photos now.
Yeah.
I have till the 31st to do that. I also made a huge mistake on our FAFSA our son.
Mel made a minor mistake on a government website, and now I think our kid doesn't go to college.
Yeah. I have till, I think, the end of March to figure this one out, but I've been dealing with it for 6 weeks. Which is I was 2 days off on his birthday, so, I might just have to like burn my computer. I don't know how to fix that. They won't let me fix it. I've been going in from different angles, like new accounts and his account, and I'm out of luck. All I can see when I open FAFSA is those two sets of grants I got in 2004.
Yeah, ours. Which is pretty funny.
Thank you so much for those.
Thank you, federal government, for that gift 20 years ago.
20 years ago, but I need to submit this application.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't. Yeah. So, senior year is just kind of like waves of a million forms to do and deadlines and payments and discussions about debt and the future. It's a lot.
We were talking about, I was thinking about government websites, and I was like, well, you know, the best web developers don't go to work for the government. So it's not the best of the best who are like, man, give me that federal government job.
I want to be the FAFSA web developer.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And yet they should be the best of the best because those websites get a lot of hits.
Now, if they could earn commission, that, you know?
Yeah, there might be something to that, yeah.
The loans.
Wait.
Like.
Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah. Well, there's also like calendar decision. And like because of my job, we have to plan pretty far in advance. Like we got an offer today for something for next December.
Yeah.
So we are like, and I'll tell you, the schools are not looking at like, hey, when's the choir concert next December? And is my daughter going to get a solo?
And which night is she going to get a solo?
And which night is she going to... Where they're not...
Yeah.
So we're like carving out... Like you're a better planner than the school district that we're in. And certainly than the sports directors in our... Not our school's great,
just
but just like
the state of California.
Yeah, like the state track meet changed. And you're like...
state.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we were like, well, what? That really affects us. And then prom has been toggling between two weekends.
I hate a toggling prom.
And you're like,
One of my pet peeves.
You know, grad night. And kind of a new thing is colleges have these summer preview weekends.
Mm-hmm.
Where you like go to the college for a weekend and you're like, well, which weekend is it?
Right.
You know, could you guys all pick the same one? Because suddenly our summer... you know, is in disarray.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's just a lot. Yeah. I'm mainly going to be at volleyball tournaments in 2025. That's the main thing I'm going to be doing.
You're going to be at volleyball tournaments on your laptop trying to get
Trying to get this FAFSA filled.
Trying to get this FAFSA filled out. there's also like you don't people like you know people when you're when you get married they're like you guys gonna have kids you guys gonna have kids you guys gonna have kids you get like that's the like the next follow-up question.
Yes. Uh-huh.
We're doing like your son's a senior, what's he gonna do, what's he gonna do, where's he gonna go, is he gonna run in college, where's he wanna go, is he gonna go insane, is he gonna
what does he wanna study,
what does he wanna study,
what career did he pick?
And the answer is we don't know and we don't get to know for a few more months. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of stressing me out that you're asking because
it is thoughtful.
It's very thoughtful.
It's a normal question.
It's the natural next question. And I'm no better because we had dinner with friends the other day and I asked them the same question about their senior. And they gave me the same answer that I give, which is like, I don't know, man. But they have this thing now where they want you to apply with your major.
Yeah.
Which is like, so you got to be 17 deciding what you want maybe your job to be? Good thing these kids aren't drinking.
I would be worried if they knew confidently what they wanted to do at 17.
Yeah, because that kid's lame. You know, live a little. You know what you want to be at 17?
The only people who knew what they wanted to be at 17 were the kids that were raised on a farm. They're like, well, I'm going to work on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
So or why was college asking?
Yeah. Or the kids who knew they were not going to go to college.
Yeah.
They're like,
I do think.
Some people know. Some people are like, I'm going to be an engineer the whole way through. You know,
that's true.
I want to be a pilot. Or I want to be whatever it may be. I want to be a doctor. Yeah, yeah. I want to be a bank teller. What? That job's going away.
Well, I don't know. It's just a lot. And for I think for the first time, like, one, childhood is ending.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you can sense it. The
for
stage
him?
Is kind of ending.
You feel like that has not hard past ended already?
No, but like 0 through 18.
Oh, right.
Or, you know, like until they turn 18, like everybody can sense that, but not everyone is going to be doing the next step together.
Yeah.
Like you go from elementary to middle school.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple of kids go to a different middle school.
Yeah.
You go from middle to high school, like a couple of kids pick a different couple high schools.
And
suddenly, some people are taking a year off. Some people are traveling. Some people are going to the military.
Yeah.
Some people are going to community college. Some people are going to college. Like, it just suddenly everything kind of shifts. And it's not a big deal. I mean, it's a huge deal, but it's also just the next phase of life.
It's the passing of time.
Yeah.
And then your local elementary school changes their schoolhouse sign and you weep for 2 days.
They took down the schoolhouse. Like, it was a literal schoolhouse sign. This
you know,
school
it had, like, the printed bulletins
and
stuff.
It was, like, a red schoolhouse. And we went to this, our kids went to this school for, like, 10, 11 years. And it's been around since the 50s.
Each of our kids did kindergarten through third grade there.
Yeah. So it was about 10, 11 years. And I still help at that school, so like we just like know a lot of the teachers. We went through COVID at that school.
We live across the street from the school. We see the kids every day.
Yeah, on the playground.
Our cat sits out front and people pet Fritter as they walk by.
To and from school.
Yes.
Every day. And so they got like a little bit of a upgrade, paint, new landscape, new signage.
Yeah.
And it was just, it gutted me. Yeah. I was like, what do you mean you got rid of the sign?
Yeah. That's what parenting does. Parenting hits you every once in a while. You're like, I wasn't expecting that to hit me right now.
Yeah, just because of all the memories.
Yeah.
All the memories and the milestones.
Yeah.
All of it.
Mel and I were, a couple years ago, we were cleaning out some stuff in our shed. And we got to Joel's baby clothes. And then we sat in our backyard and wept. We like held up his little green, I think it was like a sports onesie.
We
had some
like
basketball stock or whatever.
Three things we had saved. Yeah. Yeah. And it was way too much.
It was. I was just not ready for it. It does that, you know?
I think you just get these little reminders about the passage of time. And that it's a good thing.
Well,
it's also like it brings out emotions.
It does.
Yeah.
Big one. So we had a very emotional, I think I can speak for myself at least. I had like a very emotional Christmas Eve church service. We were at the church service and behind us, like to my right, was a couple and their very cute little baby twins.
Yes.
Very cute. And
they're like four to six months. They were little.
And
they had like little beanies that said like Mary on them.
Yeah.
It's too much.
And you had little twin sisters. So
yes.
You're thinking about your childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're remembering what it's like to have a baby in the church service with you. And or just being parents of little kids and little kids' Christmas and stuff. And then Joel is directly onto my left. And I look over at Joel. And Joel's a little taller than me. And I look up at him. And it hits me that this is the first Christmas of his life where I've ever looked up at him. I've always looked down to him, you know,
yeah.
My younger child, my little thing that was my baby. I've held him on Christmas Eve services and I've looked down on him
yeah.
and I've opened presents. Everything's been down,
mm-hmm.
you know, like my little child. And now I have this man standing next to me and I'm like, you're my son, but I'm looking up to you on the screen, and it just like,
yeah,
I wasn't ready.
Well, and
for
I
it.
Think that kind of moment, like you're so proud of who they've become.
Yeah,
and that not like a like look at my kid, he's the best.
No, not
like,
at all.
But just like a swelling of like love and
yeah.
pride.
I mean, his
you know?
his TikTok of him running uphill does have like 500,000 views, so that I am proud of.
But
that boy can move. It is both. It's all those things. It's pride of your kid, but not comparing them to other kids. You just, you know, like you said it before.
Yeah.
You like with teens, you have these moments where you're just like, I mean, I didn't know I could feel so proud, you know?
Yeah.
And you have mm-hmm. moments with them, mm-hmm. with all your kids at all these different stages too. But when they start becoming
kind of their independent selves.
They're more adult-like
yeah.
stuff, you know? Uh-huh. It's like Gloria, who's been up and down academically her life, you know, like had an unbelievable volleyball season and then made honor roll. We're like, wow, that's fantastic. When you see your 15-year-old daughter like full Superman layout dive and hit a volleyball, you're like, yeah!
Yeah.
This is way better than dirty diapers. Why am I looking back on those years so fondly? This rules. My kid's a jock. No. Anyways, it's really fun stuff, and I've been having some cool talks with Joel at night and stuff because he's up super late. And that
was the funny thing about Brea, your home weekend.
Yeah. Here we go again.
Here we go again. No, I'm not bringing that up. But you were getting home like 11 midnight.
Yeah.
And the teens were up.
Yeah.
And the throwback to when you first started comedy, you were bringing home chocolate cake because they have like a good restaurant.
Yeah.
And so they were greeting the teens with chocolate cake and
mm-hmm.
me and Claire were asleep.
Yeah.
And you used to wake me up because I was pregnant with
mm-hmm.
Claire and I would eat that chocolate
yeah.
cake in the middle of the night. So it's crazy.
It really... It was one of the more bizarre weekends of our life because the fires really started to go nuts on like Tuesday evening. Because I was supposed to be on after midnight on Wednesday. And
mm-hmm.
I got an email from the booker who was like, hey, one of the guests might not make it because, you know,
where they live.
These fires are
yeah.
picking up.
Yeah.
And then they... And then the next day I got an email and I'm sending them over like my paperwork and stuff for to be on the show that day. I think I'm going up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get an email like, hey, the show's not taping. And I was like, oh. And then that booker is randomly in San Diego the next night.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because she's evacuated and she's like, hey, do you want to go to a comedy show? And I was like, sure. So we went and saw David Cross and Shane, my buddy Shane Torres was opening. And so we were there just at the Music Box, which I'd never been to the Music Box.
You've been? Yeah.
I have not, actually.
Yeah. No. Yeah, it's right there in Little Italy. And it was a good show and everything. And went and saw that. And then the next night, Emily, the booker at the Comedy Store, was in town. Because she also had been evacuated and she has family down here. And I was like, do you want to go to a show just to distract? You want us to come to this Brea show with Taylor? And she's like, I would love that. So now I'm hanging out with all these other people who have been to his place here. And then we're going to the Brea shows. And I'm coming back to our house late at night. You're asleep. The teens are all up. Then by the second night, they're like, where's that cake? Third night, they're like, that cake is back. And then you came up the third night. It was just a really unique weekend in that regard, you know. But yeah, these late night chats with the kids, I mean, Joel said something. And he was like, man, I just like, he's like, I just thought high school was going fast. And then he goes, and now I think it's like the perfect amount of time. Like, he's feeling ready to move on. Mm-hmm. Just such a like very mature thing for a 17-year-old to say, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll like fart like while we're eating, and you're like, all right, you're kind of a mixed bag as far as maturity goes. But anyways, let's do some emails. And we got Bingo Dingoes. One, there's okay. no way that anybody listens to this podcast probably hasn't already watched this, but we're a little late on this. But Nate Special, fantastic. Your friend, mm-hmm. Nate Bergazzi, five out of five Bingo Dingoes. Nate is a, I was watching that special. And I've said, you've heard me say this, I've said this 10 times. It's like, I've just never seen a more efficient comedian. Like, I said
word for word.
Word
yeah.
for word. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy doesn't do two sentences without a joke. It's everything's funny. Just like, it's like a master class in stand-up comedy. You just watch and you're like, there's just no fat. It's just like his pacing and it's unique and it's Nate. And Nate is not. You don't like think of Nate and be like, oh, he's like this person. You're like, no, some people are like Nate. You
yeah,
know,
he's,
but,
a, he's his own.
And I have been
entity.
I think the ordering pizza bit is maybe my favorite Nate bit. It's
I
certainly
think about
top
it
five.
Every other day.
Yeah.
Like, if not every
yeah.
day. Yeah.
Hey, do you have a big lunch? So funny. I think it's so good. it's great. So
And then the just off the top of my head, the microwave. I know you have a number.
Yeah. That was Taylor texted me, Taylor, about how much she loves that bit. Because Taylor's watching it. And she was like, I was like, guess what my favorite bit is. And she guessed that one. I was like, that might be number two. But it's up there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The only thing I don't like about that is the slander for the wake-up call in the morning. Because I still use it. I use it all the time. I actually think I might have been the prompt that caused the guy on the tour to do it, because I mentioned that I do it.
Mm-hmm. I remember you guys talking about it. So
also, Sonic 3, go see it. The Sonic trilogy, as I call it. Did you see it?
Yeah, we saw it.
Did you like it?
Oh, loved it.
So fun.
Yeah, Christmas Eve. It's great.
So visually great.
Oh.
They look incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Not
mm-hmm.
enough people are talking about how good those movies look.
Jim Carrey's incredible in it.
I mean, Jim Carrey's so good. It's the only movies he'll do right now. He won't do anything other than Sonics, and I love it.
So good.
I really like it. And that it didn't win everything at the Golden Globes is a disgrace to the American people. I love it so much. So what was your I mean, 4.4 out of 5. I'll give it 4 golden rings. Ding, 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 ding,
there
ding, 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 ding.
I'll give it 5 out of 5 for a family movie.
Yeah.
I was a little sick, so I was that, but that was on me.
Well,
not
wasn't,
from the movie.
Wasn't your fault.
No. But my enjoyment of the movie was like not like
100%. Yeah, it is. It's hard to enjoy a movie in a theater when you're.
Yeah, and you're like, I need to get back in bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's do an email.
Okay.
So this is from Jessica. My sister's name.
Hi, Jessica.
Subject, relatable in all of the unfortunate ways.
Oh.
Hey, guys. Jessica from Newfoundland, Canada here. Newfoundland?
I can't tell you.
Have you guys seen the how to pronounce stuff on Google? They'll
Newfoundland? Straight... Newfoundland? I don't know.
Have you seen this, Mel?
No.
Let's put it on the slow feature.
Newfoundland.
I can put it in my mic here. Ready?
Newfoundland.
Isn't that nice? They just straight up tell you how to do it.
Huh.
Newfoundland. It'd be funny if Jessica was like, that's not how you say that, actually. Jessica from Newfoundland. I listen to every podcast and chuckle, most times in my car, mm-hmm. probably in the dark, mm-hmm. Along with witty banter and relatable stories each week. That's nice. As you guys were talking about driving your kids sports, your kids to sports in the dark, I was listening on my way home from jazz class with my 7-year-old in the dark.
Yeah.
And thinking, quote, it's been 5 p.m. for 12 hours already. Boy, do I relate. You were telling me, so I think this was in the era when I had a day job and a night job. Your drop-off schedule
For many years, it was an hour.
It was an hour every morning,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Who had to be where, when?
Well, just pick the ages. So we
especially
leave
when you had three kids, three schools.
We always have. We always have had three kids at three schools.
Yeah, I guess since the preschool days,
yeah.
Right?
So, I mean, I shouldn't say always, but we used to be, we'd leave at 7:30 for Gloria for her middle school. We'd leave at 8 o'clock for Joel's high school. And we leave at 8:20 for Claire's elementary school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boom,
so that's
boom,
an hour.
Boom, boom, boom. Yeah. And I would be home not very often for that. And that was not, that was, I think that was more during the rec center days because I had to be at work.
Yeah. During the rec center days, it would be 7:30 for Joel at middle school.
Yeah.
Stay in the car and drop Gloria in the loop for elementary.
Uh-huh.
And then the third drop off was Claire.
Yeah.
Which was about 8:40 at preschool.
And then you just go home and relax all day.
Yeah.
Just piece of cake, put your feet up, get a facial, whatever you do. As for the
soap operas and ice cream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. As for the worst hour of the day, this is back to Jessica, as a stay-at-home mom, a.k.a. the CEO of the household, I like that, of a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old, the 30 minutes after those kids get off the bus feel like I'm about to march into battle. A tornado of chaos is sure to ensue, and my children turn into dehydrated snack goblins. And this is very funny. And we have to start at the bottom of the hierarchy of needs with food and hydration. And work our way up until they become functioning mini members of society again. This is so funny of just like, what's the immediate need?
Oh, yeah. So when I had a 7 and a 4.5-year-old, I had a newborn. And I remember this very vividly.
Yeah.
This is when Claire started walking, she would get the water bottles out of the bigger two kids' backpacks and start drinking them.
Mm.
So she would get all the germs from the preschool and the elementary school via the water bottles.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't get to, that was low on the needs.
Yeah.
So baby fishing water bottles out of backpacks was going to happen.
Incredible.
Yeah.
There is still an element of that where Joel will be like, can you fix my PayPal login? You're like, this is not an immediate need. We have other things that we have to deal with. People have to eat and get to their things.
Over Christmas break, one day I fixed two pairs of JNCOs.
Mm-hmm.
I hemmed one pair, and then I reinforced the hem on another pair. And I was dying because like they've been asking me to do this forever.
Yeah.
But it's like I got Christmas. I got college applications. I got... No. And then finally, I reached a point where I was like, today's the day.
Today's the day.
I'm your JNCOs.
Yeah.
But yes, these are the things that teens ask you all the time. And kids.
There's stuff that you put off like that for a while. You're like, all right, finally. You know, the stuff that you, but you're like, I can't really get to that right now because the bathroom sink is clogged. And that's the immediate issue.
Yeah.
The toilet isn't flushing. And we're a family of five with one bed.
I get so mad. I get so mad when the toilet isn't working right.
Yeah.
I'm just like, it's over.
It's over. Well, again, I think it's flushed a lot. I think it's because, well, we'll talk about that another time. And then Jessica ends here. My husband does rotational work 2 weeks away from home, so I often relate to the stories of the solo parenting stints, and Melissa is my spirit animal.
Ah!
Keep up the normal, relatable living.
Oh, who was that? Thanks,
Jessica.
Appreciate it.
We got from Newfoundland.
Love it.
And then sometimes people give us gifts at shows, and we always highlight and say thank yous for this right here. This is these were all from Spokane. Someone got me this right here. This is a Always Be Kind shirt. It's nice. That's very nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then these are... Friends,
these are
fans.
Custom.
Yeah, these are custom right here. I might want to put these on, Mel. put these on for the end of the episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Showcase these.
Well, what's crazy is they chose hats that, like, you wear and I wear.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
It's very...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, these are just very...
Look at these.
Very thoughtful mm-hmm. gifts right here.
That's great.
You didn't get one, Andy.
I love it.
Sorry.
Yeah.
That's fine. Well, I got other entire... going today.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Well,
you're
you
locked
also,
in.
Andy also purchased something from Joel's Vintage Company this week. So
it's fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So post for the headshot, mm-hmm. Mel, because this will be the thumbnail.
Will it?
No, I don't know. Maybe it will. Maybe it's a bit too much.
How are we tying this into senior year?
Well, I mean, I think it makes for a captivating thumbnail. And then people are like, when are they going to put them on? When are they going to put them on? I've never seen you wear like a flannel hat. It's like a total...
I had one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. All I'm seeing is flannel, you know?
I've just never... It's like a hunter male. It also... I haven't seen that before. It's like Dustin... I didn't see... It says Dustin Dickerson Comedy on
yeah.
the side right here.
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
DNC. Nope, that's taken. Anyways, thanks, Curtains,
so
for
much.
The stuff. Mm-hmm. Appreciate you guys being backseaters. Is that it? Do we got anything else?
That's
anybody
it.
Anything else, Andy?
That's it.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, everybody. Want to give a special shout out towards Essential as Oils patrons. That's our $25 a month and up. Thanks so much for giving to the pod and getting a little back. That is Adam Bush.
Avril Griffiths.
Allison Nelson.
Andy and Darlene Gerton.
Avery Starr.
Bonnie Galindo.
Brandon Schoenberger.
Carrie Teague.
Christopher and Bridget Finland.
Code to Grow.
Courtney Eibling.
Damaris Diaz-Stevens.
Daniel Owens.
Dave and Melissa Cox.
Dave Hoagland.
Dustin Daly.
Jason and Francis White.
Jen Thirk.
Jessica Hanrahan.
Jonathan Rivera.
Jordan Cowan.
Juliana Smith.
Lori Amos.
Lauren and Nick Rachel.
Matt and Sam Slazdom.
Michelle Caslon.
Nicole Carraz.
Norman Perron.
Preston and Rachel Wilson.
Rachel Kennedy.
Robert and Nellie Capen.
Scott Elliott.
Stephen Mania and Tiffany Payne. Thanks so much, everybody.